Righty, thank you very much. Have your Bible turn with me to Luke chapter number 20 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 20 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 20, I'm going to begin reading in verse, I'm going to go back to verse number 19. Chapter number 20 and verse number, starting verse number 19. It says, "And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him, and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for your word. We do pray that you might bless and work in our hearts and lives as we study this and many other scriptures tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I believe tonight I speak to a people who believe that God's Word is very, very, very important. In fact, I believe tonight I speak to a folk who believe that every word within the Word of God is important. In fact, we believe in what's called the plenary inspiration, verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. In other words, we believe that every word is given by God. There are two camps today. There is one group of folks who believe that the thoughts of God are given to us. They believe that just the overall thought is given and the words themselves are not really that important. And then there are those who, like ourselves, who believe that God gave us the very words. And I don't know about you, but I believe this is a very important subject. And if it's only the thoughts, then anything that we say like the thoughts of God can become the so-called Word of God. Hence, we have literally hundreds of translations of the Bible, most all of which do not use the verbal plenary inspiration thought. They believe in the thoughts themselves being given by God. How important are words of God? I believe very important. But I want us to go another step as we think about the Scripture that's given to us here. How important are our words? We know the words of God are important, but how about ours? Are our words important? Let's consider tonight. Christ's enemies sought to foil His work by His own words. They came to Him, and we find that they feigned themselves just men. They come as phonies. They come as those who seem like it. And they say swelling words in verse 21 about Him. And then they ask Him a question. And they are seeking to catch Him in His words. And the purpose of that, as we find in verse 20, is that they might deliver Him unto the governor. They want to get rid of Him. And so here are some people who believe that words are mighty important. And they believe if they can catch Him in His words, that they will be able to destroy His emphasis of authority amongst the people. Seeking for Job to give up his fight against all the forces of evil, his wife admonishes him with the words, "Curse God and die." She knew that the power of His words would bring immediate relief from His tormentors. She understood the power of words. Job himself knew their power. He said in chapter 6 and verse 25, "How forcible are right words." In fact, we find from God's Bible that words are important to Him. Matthew 12, 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Interesting and also very enlightening to us as to what God thinks of our words. I find that our words reveal maturity. If you go to the book of James chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." What is God saying? God is saying a perfect or a mature man is one who is able to control his tongue, one who is able to say the right words. Words are important. I remember when I was a little kid, once in a while you'd hear this little phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That is the most ridiculous statement ever made up by young people or whoever did. Because words do hurt. How many know what I mean? Words do hurt. And all of us have been hurt by what somebody has said in our lives. All of us have been influenced by the words that somebody has said to us. I remember in fifth grade, I had a teacher, and I think she probably did it to all the boys. She looked at me and she said, "Gene, one of these days you could become the President of the United States." I think that maybe she said that to all of them, hoping someday one of them might be, and she could say, "I was the teacher of the President of the United States." But I remember those words stuck with me. Later, when God called me to preach, I remembered those words, and I thought, and her name was Lichty, I thought, "Miss Lichty, God has called me to a higher occupation than President of the United States." And in lieu of what's in the White House today, that's not hard to say. But nonetheless, it is one of those spots that I'm just, I'm very, very sensitive in my own heart as to words. And yet so often the words that come from my mouth are not what they ought to be. Our Lord's words were gracious. I read in Luke chapter number 4, it says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." Interesting. They talked about his gracious words. I believe that you and I ought to project that as well. I believe our words ought to be that which is gracious. It says in Ecclesiastes, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." Interesting what the word says concerning that. This was what Joseph was to his brothers. He was very gracious in his words. After they had rejected him, after they had sold him into slavery, told their dad he was dead, after they have been rescued now in the land of Egypt, and he is a ruler in the land of Egypt, and their father is now dead, they've come to him and they are scared. But he says this, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He had every right in our own minds to be mean to them and to take vengeance upon them. But we find that he was very gracious in his words. Words have the quality of being life-giving, especially from our Lord. The Bible says in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The words, he says, "I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." How many times in our lives have we had somebody say something that so encouraged us, it brought us back into that place of vivaciousness? How many times has somebody spoken and we were so encouraged and we were so enlightened by it that life began to generate once again from us? Our words, may I say to you tonight, our words have the power to build or to destroy. Our words have that power. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 1 and 2, it says this, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Here we got two sides of the coin. We have what he calls soft, a soft answer, what? It takes away or turns away wrath. But grievous words, they can stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I believe from that, in the context of these verses and some that follow, not only what we say, but how we say it becomes very important. Words are important. Those things have been helpful in our lives. They have been hurtful in our lives. Words have the power to do both of those things. How important are our words? They are so important, they can destroy or they can build. And with that thought in mind, I would say to you, first of all, that we ought to seek to use wholesome words. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writing to Timothy, the young pastor, he says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ or the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." He says, "From such withdraw thyself." And he's talking here about having wholesome words. That which is going to, what? Not destroy, but that which is going to be building in lives. If you're here tonight and you're a parent, you want to build your children. You don't want to destroy them. If you're here tonight and you're a Sunday school teacher, you want to build your class. You don't want to destroy them. If you're here tonight and you work in Master Club, you want to build those individuals that God has given to your charge. You don't want to destroy them. How do we do that? With wholesome words. So we stop and think about wholesome words. How can these be projected from our mouths? One of the things I would suggest to you tonight is they need to be thought out. They need to be thought out. Have you ever met somebody that speaks first and thinks later? They speak without thinking. And what do? They open mouth and insert foot. And I hope you're not one of those persons. But we know people like that. We need to be a people who think out what we see, what we say. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." Now, when we study Proverbs and we find out what God thinks of fools, this is not a very encouraging verse for somebody who's hasty in his words. God says there's more hope of a fool than somebody who is hasty, somebody who speaks without thinking. Proverbs 10, verse number 19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." I think it's probably better to speak little and let folks think that perhaps you know something than to speak a lot and reverse their decision. Because sometimes in our much speaking, we show our ignorance. Our words have power to build, they have power to destroy, and thus we need to think them out. We ought not just start rambling away. I believe also that they need to be pleasing to God. I put a little parenthesis and wrote this in my notes. I wonder about some of our fellowship. Some of the things that we as God's people, when we're standing around, what we talk about. I wonder, is it pleasing to God? We laugh about some things, we joke about some things, but I do wonder, is it pleasing to God? Consider what God says in 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. It says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." I find a tendency in my own life. I like for folks to like me. How many folks like people to like you? Let me put it this way, since you all have broken arms. Is there anybody here tonight that likes for people to hate you? Okay, now we got 100% participation. Okay, Carrie's back there trying to put up Todd's hand, but he won't let her. good going, Todd, all right. We like people to like us. We don't want to hate us. And so in our language, so many times, we're going to do something, we're going to say something to try what? Please people. One of the things we do is we try to get people to laugh. So we say things that are sometimes pretty dumb. And we say things sometimes that are, I don't think, very pleasing to God. As we are seeking to get our laughs, we need to stop and think, are my words pleasing the Lord? The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Our words are very important. They will either build somebody or they will destroy somebody. And so we need to use wholesome words. And if we're going to use wholesome words, we need to really think this out. And we need to realize, hey, what we say needs to be pleasing to God. We need to allow the Spirit of God to direct our language. We need to allow that in our lives. So often we aggravate and, I was going to say, aggravate people, if you know what I mean, because of the words we use and many times the way that we use them. Wholesome words. On the other hand, there are, as we find in our text in Luke, those who are feigning themselves just men. And they're using feigned words. Let me take you to 2 Peter for a second. Chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He's talking about how folks are going to try to get us off track through feigned words. Our words are either going to build or they're going to destroy. And so we have those who are seeking to destroy, those who are trying to tear apart the work of God. How many realize tonight that the devil would like to see Open Door Baptist Church destroyed? I mean, you recognize that. How many of you recognize tonight that the devil would like to destroy your family? He'd like to do that. I mean, I believe tonight you recognize the devil would like to destroy you. He's after you. Your destruction is his desire. He's called Abaddon, Apollyon, words that mean he is the destroyer. He is seeking to do that. How is he going to do that? With feigned words. For the devil has one tool in his arsenal. One tool that he can use against you. And it's pretty simple. It's called lies. See, the Bible says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Set you free of his influence. Could we say it that way? That's where our freedom is at, is in Christ. But he is a liar. He's the father of it, the Bible says. In the same context, he's considered a murderer. He is seeking to destroy us through these things called lies, through words that are feigned, words that are seeking to destroy. Now stop and think about it. What kind of words destroy? Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 20 says, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Words that stir strife are feigned. And they seek to exalt self rather than to help another individual. And for us to understand that which is seeking to stir up problems are feigned words. They're that which the devil is using to seek to destroy. Words that have no purpose, but to expose another should be basically left unsaid. He said, but preacher, there are things that people do that are wrong. This is very true. But we need to also understand there's a difference between exposing falsehood and seeking to destroy individuals. In the book of 1 Timothy, it talks about this a little bit, and it's referring basically to widow women. It says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." There are things that just ought not to be said. There are things that we ought to, love covereth a multitude of sin. And there are things that ought to be put away. There are those, though, that are like these men who are seeking to destroy our Savior with feigned words. It's interesting in Proverbs chapter 31. And many of you ladies know that Proverbs 31 is talking about the virtuous woman. And in chapter 31, verse number 26 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." And that be the kind of person that we ought to be. There's feigned words. Now, as God's people, we also need to learn to do something our Lord learned, or our Lord knew, and that is to be able to decipher, to be able to detect those who are wanting to destroy. In verse 21 says, "They asked Him, saying, Master, we know that Thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest Thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly." By the way, that's a true statement. And then they asked the question, "Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar?" No, but notice verse number 23. "But He perceived their craftiness." There was perception on the part of our Lord and Savior. And you and I need to have perception that we can know when there are feigned words. That which is seeking to destroy. That which is seeking to destroy perhaps another Christian, perhaps ourselves. That we not get caught in those kinds of situations. Are words important? The words of our Lord and Savior are very important. As I mentioned at the very beginning, there is a huge battle taking place today amongst those who call themselves Christian. I kind of wonder about a few of them as to what is the Word of God. And there is much that's being said, there's much being written on both sides of the fence. And I believe that God's Word is very important because every word God gave to us. And so you and I need to take those words very seriously. Not just the thoughts. But with that in mind, are our words important? If God's words are important, and God gave us the ability to speak, for some reason it seems to me, and as we've looked here in Scripture, our words are very important. There's not one of us that has not been built or has not had some destruction in our lives as a result of words. There's not a one of us that have not been helped with words or hurt with words. And so as God's people, it ought to be our desire to have wholesome words. We might study them. We might think out what we're saying. We might not just fly off the handle and just say anything that comes to our mouth. Those are hasty words. And God says there's more hope of a fool than of that individual. Some folks say, "Well, I've earned the right to just say what I please." And no, you haven't. No, you haven't. That right is God's. And when we look at God, we find that His words are words of building. They are words of helpfulness. They are words of graciousness. And if we're going to be like our God, then we need to be studying out our words, putting thought into them, not being hasty with our words. It would be better for us on many occasions to say nothing than to say something that wouldn't be pleasing to God. It would be better for us to say nothing than to say that which is going to hurt somebody. Words are important. They're important when they're said thus. Amen? And so we need to say, my words are important to those I say them to. Let's go to Him in prayer at this moment. Father, thank You so much that You loved us so much that You gave us